Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Sound Heart Radio. This morning's topic is entitled A Living Faith Narrative in Violent and Dangerous Times. I'm going to be reading from one of the so-called minor prophets of the Old Testament. His name is Habakkuk. And this is what Habakkuk writes in chapter 1. I'm going to read his first complaint to God. Prophet wants to make sense of what is going on during his time. He wants to understand why God has allowed certain events to take place. And we will finally get to understand something about the nature and the scope of faith as written in the Old Testament. Please note that the word faith never occurs in the Old Testament. The times that one sees the word faith in certain translations are a particular translator's attempt at writing down what the Old Testament means by faith, because in the New Testament, the term faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And so it is the word in the Greek has a very different meaning. In the New Testament, the word faith is called a noun of action. A noun of action. Whereas in the Old Testament, faith is not, as in the Hebrews chapter 11, we were given a definition of faith. In the Old Testament, there is no definition of faith as such given, because faith is what one does. Faith in the Old Testament is activity or action. And so it is very, very different. So let me read to you from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, and following. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received: How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, speaking of the word of God, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And so the prophet here has laid out his complaint. And there is incredible power in his complaint. Now, before I do a comparison of our times, I want to delve a little deeper into Habakkuk's masa. In the Hebrew, the word is masa, which means burden or load. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received, how long, Yahweh? And the term Yahweh is very interesting. At the root of this word, this term for God, root is Haya. And this term Yahweh means, which is the verb to be or to happen. And Yahweh means the existing one, the existing one. So how long, Yahweh, must I cry for help? Notice the language, but you do not listen. And so his cry or his call is, he says to Yahweh, why do you not listen? So you have a question. Or cry out to you, violence. The word here, violence, means wrong or oppression. But you do not say, why do you make me look at Aven? And in my English Bible, it reads injustice, but Aven, the Hebrew word here means trouble or sorrow. Why do you tolerate wrong? And this is an abiding and perennial question that the saints have. Many saints may not voice this, that they may feel it in their hearts. They may believe that it would be inappropriate to voice such a statement. And yet here it is in Scripture. Habakkuk wants to understand what is going on. He does not understand the deeper purpose of God. He does not understand what God is doing. And so he continues, destruction and violence are before me, or destruction and idolatry are before me. Destruction and wrong. In the Hebrew, the word for destruction here means havoc or ruin. See Amos 3:10. There is strife. The word here means a legal cause or a legal situation, and the proliferation of lawsuits within the culture. Neighbor against neighbor, person against person, group against group. And conflict abounds. Therefore, the law holds in the Hebrew. In the English, it reads, therefore, the law is paralyzed. But in the Hebrew, it reads, the law is holding. And justice never prevails. The wicked him and the righteous, in the Hebrew it reads, the wicked surround the righteous in a hostile sense. The wicked surround the righteous in a hostile sense. Judges 20:43, Psalm 22:13. And so he says, the wicked him and the righteous so that justice is perverted. The wealthy landowners control the courts at this time through their wealth. And so they always got the decision on the legal cases that were brought to them that were in their favor against the court. poor. The poor had no power. They had no political power. They had no economic power. And so the wicked always won their cases. And then we see that the Lord answers Habakkuk in verse 5. And God says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe if, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves and promote their own honor. Habakkuk prophesies during the later reign of Jehoiakim, which was around 609 to 598 BC. And he prophesied a little before the Battle of Carchemish, which occurred in 605, when the Egyptian forces had earlier gone to the aid of the last Assyrian king and were routed by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, and were pursued as far as the border of Egypt. So God's actions, God's response to Habakkuk's complaint is amazing to Habakkuk. And he wants to understand why God would answer him in such a way. Habakkuk complains about what is going on in his culture and among his people, and God says, in verse 6, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sleep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. To seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves. Please note carefully the language, and I'm going to let you do your own parallelism. They are a feared and dreadful people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Now, I know this sounds familiar to you, and I know you understand what is going on. They laugh at all the fortified cities and build earthen rams and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose strength is in their God. And after God's, Yahweh's answer, Habakkuk, in verse 12, begins his second complaint. Well, we have Habakkuk's second complaint, verse 12. O Lord, are you not from everlasting or antiquity? Kadim, my God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong or amal, that which is heavy or wearisome labor. Why do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? So this is a very, very serious conversation. Yahweh and Habakkuk have this exchange. And Habakkuk wrestles with complexity, or he is wrestling with his, I should say, perplexity over God's response to his situation. Why does God answer him in this way? Why does God tell Habakkuk, or why does God speak to Habakkuk in such a way as not to arrest his perplexity? And why would God say that I'm going to send the Babylonians, verse 7, a people that are feared and dreaded? They are a law unto themselves. Why does God say this? And they promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. The horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture, swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. And so the motif of violence is not only used by Habakkuk in his complaint, the motif of violence is also used by God in his response or answer to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is perplexed, and his answers from God do not assuage or lay aside his perplexity. And yet, notice what happens in verse 13. The prophet wants to know, or he asks God, why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? A very legitimate question. Why are you silent? One of the great themes of both the Old Testament and the New Testament is the silence of God, and how God seems to be silent at times of the earlier times of our deepest need. The silence of God has been a great theological topic. Habakkuk wrestled with the silence of God, as you may in your own experience have wrestled or are wrestling with the human silence of God with regard to your situation, with regard to your perplexity. God assures the prophet that he is active and that this situation will and is being addressed. But the answer that Habakkuk receives from God is not the answer that Habakkuk anticipated or wanted. Why do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked soul of those more righteous than themselves? And here is where Kierkegaard would call this the halt. So the halt occurs when my understanding of who I think God should be is confronted with the freedom of God. We see the same situation in the book of Job. What Job faced in his life and his self-understanding had been under his understanding of who or of Yahweh in his life. But then, through the crisis of his situation, Job discovered Yahweh anew and in a different manner. Habakkuk was in a faith I see. He lives in a violent and dangerous time. He lives under the reign of Jehoiakim, a very selfish ruler who wanted things to go a certain way, and yet this man, this king, lived outside of the will of God. So Habakkuk's questions to God are not merely rhetorical. They are living questions. He wanted to know. He wanted to understand. And yet, God is going to stretch the prophet's understanding. God is going to move the prophet out from his, from where he is, to understand what God is doing in a different and powerful way. And so, chapter 2, stand at my watch, at my watch station. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, we have the verb stand, which means to remain or endure. I will endure, I will remain at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, what his word will provide for me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. Verse 3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. This is also reminiscent of the book of Daniel, the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. There is a challenge of faith. There is a challenge to maintain a living faith narrative in violent and dangerous times. And the Lord's answer to Habakkuk is about his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A living faith narrative is rooted in the word of God. It is built upon the platform or the foundation of the character of God. Habakkuk must learn to rest in divine revelation. He must learn to rest. He must learn to cast himself upon the character of God in violent and dangerous times. The safest place for every child of God is within the will of God. The safest place for every child of God is to abide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Habakkuk is receiving that type of instruction. He is growing in self-understanding. The self-understanding is not going to grow, or his new self-understanding or awareness is not going to grow if he is looking at his situation from a subjective viewpoint. He will grow in self-understanding, that is his faith, self-awareness, as he grows in his understanding of the living oracles of the Word of God. He will have a new consciousness. He will have a new peace, that passive understanding. He will learn, as Paul learned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul could write, in whatever circumstances or situation I find myself, I have therewith learned to be content. Habakkuk must learn to be content with the word of God, which what God has said. And God has given his word to the prophet. Notice, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up, speaking about the evil. He is timid. Or he has, the word puffed up here means to suffer a tumor or hernia. His desires are not upright, speaking of the wicked ones. Verse 4, Habakkuk 2:4, very famous verse that is quoted by the Apostle Paul. But the righteous or the just will live by faith. The righteous will live by his faith. The Roman road, Martin Luther, was converted by this verse. Throughout the history of the church, it has been the book of Romans that has caused or many lives to be changed and made new. Emuna, verse 4, is the word that has been translated as faith. Emuna. Emuna, this word means firmness, fidelity, and steadiness. It is used in Exodus 17:12 and in other passages. The righteous will live by his emuna. And so it is that the prophet comes into this new self-consciousness and into this new self-understanding as he understands, as he listens to the Word of God, as he allows the Word of God to interpret events in not his own mind, not his own viewpoint. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall make thy path straight. That is in a crisis situation, but in the midst of that storm, in the midst of violent and dangerous times, the prophet is learning the importance of placing his trust in the Word of God. God will indeed use a nation more wicked than his own to punish the people of God for their behavior. And at a point in time, God will also use the rod that he used against his people. He will also take them down too. They will be punished for their abuses of the people of God. And so it is that we must become profound students of the Word of God in order to understand what God is doing in history, to understand how and why Western history is still infused with meaning, because God is still at work today. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.